marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled. He said, there are things inside the marriage that are really good about sexuality. But there's also then things outside of the bounds of marriage that cause consequences. What I hope that you get out of this today is a combination of things to help to encourage you in God's design for sexuality and Christian marriage. I think the other thing is, I want you to, we're constantly bombarded by world's messages about things, our natural inclinations towards things, and to be able to find ways to enhance your marriage wherever it's at. Okay? So here's the outline. We're going to be biblical foundations. We're going to look at protecting sexuality and living what I call the core four, sexual personalities, fantasy, intentional rekindling, and talking about sex. So, and don't worry, I won't be asking the audience any questions. All right. And we have way more information. We have time, so hold on to your hat. So here we go. Biblical foundations for sexuality. First of all, God is the creator, and it's very key to remember here. Sexuality was created prior to the fall. This was not an accident. This was original design. Male and female were created prior to the fall. The one flesh design. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. One flesh design was God's design. Okay, procreation and families. Again, part of God's design. Another aspect, that God designed sexuality to be about mutuality and giving. It was, in this world, sexuality is a lot about taking. It is a lot about stealing. And really what you have here in 1 Corinthians 7, 3-5, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence or kindness, his duty to her, and likewise also the wife to the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. What you have here, using words like power and things like that, and I don't have control and stuff like that, if you think about what he's trying to say here is, this is about mutual. It's not me going for me and you going for you. It's that I'm seeking to meet your need as a spouse, and that spouse is speaking to meet my needs. So it's back and forth. So it says then, defraud ye not, or don't deprive one another, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency, your lack of self-control. The concept here is that God desires this, that we're trying to meet each other's needs. God designed sexuality to be pleasurable. And you have to remember this. It is not by accident that sexuality is pleasurable. I mean, he could have made babies come into the world by cracking knuckles. There's a lot of things he could have done differently, right? He made it feel good, okay? He even talks about it. And sometimes, with very explicit language in the Scripture, Proverbs 5, 18 and 19, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. And let her be as a loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times. And be thou ravished, to be intoxicated, always with her love. Now the key here also is there's all these things. The blessing of one flesh relationship, male and female, and mutuality. But it's also, it was designed from the beginning to not have shame attached to it. Now what has sin and what has just fallenness in this world brought to sexuality? Shame. Isolation, hiding, hurt, you know, those kind of things. So then, God knowing this, he's not blind to this. He has encouraged there to be boundaries around sexuality. Marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled. He said, there are things inside the marriage that are really good about sexuality. But there's also then things outside of the bounds of marriage that cause consequences and hurt. So, we're on to number one here. Protecting sexuality and living the core four. Take a look at this model here. And if you look, the Bible is pretty explicit, very explicit, about the things that are outside of the bounds of a marriage. Okay? Lust, fornication, sexual abuse, obscenity, prostitution, homosexuality, pornography, orgies, adultery. God says this is to be outside. This doesn't belong inside Christian marriage. But then The Bible does not give a lot of explicit details as to what a couple can or should do inside of their sexual relationship. But what it does do is give some wonderful principles for each couple to apply. And those four principles are the principle of oneness, the principle of honor and respect, of mutuality, and of no shame. So we're going to look at those real briefly. So the first one is mutuality. First of all, either spouse can initiate sexual intimacy. Right? Either one can say, hey, you know what, it's tonight. You know, and however you go about that in your relationship. But ultimately, the couple has to agree. Okay? Neither spouse should feel forced or coerced or controlled in sexuality. That's not God's design. Now, again, that doesn't mean that every time you may be interested that your spouse is going to be interested, or vice versa. And there are times that we go into being sexual out of a desire to meet the other one's needs. Okay? But let's remember another thing. This is very different than feeling coerced or controlled. That's not mutual. Another one, though, the other principle here of mutuality is that each spouse is trying to meet the other's need. And remember, sometimes that need is for increased sexuality. Remember also, the other side to that is sometimes the need is for space. Okay? So if your spouse is not feeling well and you're putting pressure on to be sexual, that's not a healthy or a helpful thing if somebody's not feeling well. Now, if you've had a headache for the last 16 years and to kind of say, nope, I got a headache again, you know, we got to work on that, okay? All right, the next one is unoneness. Sexuality's design, one of the aspects of design, is that it enhanced the sense of we. All right? Before you were married, okay, you were an I. All right? I have me. Okay? But when we come to marriage, each individual, I am, you know, I'm Ted, my wife is Donna. But in our marriage, we are a we. And sexuality is designed to help strengthen that sense of we. It's also why God does not want that sexual bond to be violated. Okay? Because it's sacred. It's special. It's supposed to be safe. It's supposed to be ours. So remember that God's design, in Old and New Testament, explicitly talks about how the one flesh relationship is God's design to enhance oneness. Next, honor and respect. What we want in sexuality and Christian marriage is for each spouse to feel honored and respected. That means to be prized by the other one, that the other one is taking into account the best interests. Okay, and I would say one of the things about that is not only keeping their best interests in mind in terms of their likes or dislikes, those kind of things, but I want to specifically call out this one, that each spouse takes seriously the opportunity to prepare himself or herself to be sexual. That's in terms of hygiene, okay, preparing yourself that way, in terms of time or priorities, making it a priority. And mentally, and we're going to talk more about the importance of trying to work at shifting our minds into that gear. But you know what? What you find is that when somebody is feeling like we are a we, they're feeling honored and respected, and they have the opportunity to give and receive in the sexual union, it goes pretty well. Okay? That doesn't mean there's other things that can't happen. But then lastly, that God's design is the no shame. That means the couples can enjoy their sexual relationship and experience sexual pleasure without having to feel shame. And I want to say it in two things. Number one, they don't feel that they've been coerced into doing something that they feel that they shouldn't have done or they shouldn't do, those kind of things. Or that any kind of things that have been brought into their life, whether it's a thing like a pornography or some like a sin that like that is that's come in, we need to move on out, or whether somebody's had painful sexual experiences that continue to hurt, create some hurt in the relationship. And what we want to do is we want to help people to move through that, and it can be healed and worked through. There's some hard things people go through in those areas. So now we're on to number two, sexual personalities. All right, and each of these remaining areas have three different areas. There's a consider slide. This is just a general. Then there's an unhealthy and then a healthy. So this is the consider. First of all, most of us are familiar with the concept of personality. Oh, that person's outgoing, or that person's really organized, or that person's this or that or the other thing. Well, you need to remember, too, that kind of seeps down into our sexuality as well in different ways. All right? And so if you think about how your personality and life experiences impact your sexuality, there's different ways that it may manifest. Some people in sexuality prefer predictability. Okay? They don't like surprises. They may say that they like routine, whereas others like a lot of variety. Okay? Another one is planful versus spontaneous. Okay? Some people really like knowing ahead of time what the plan is. You know, Tuesday, 9:30. Okay? You know, that kind of a thing. Where others are just like, hey, let's just see what happens, and hey, what about now? You know, and things like that. Now, different times of life, those things may be able to work better and worse. And we're going to talk about how that plays in a little bit later. But just by personality, some of you may prefer one or the other. The other is how cautious versus adventurous somebody is. Some of this may have to do with what somebody's previous experience has been. So if somebody's experienced sexual hurt, okay, and oftentimes when I'm working with individuals who have gone through sexual abuse, for example, that we have to, as we're growing through that experience and growing and healing and things like that, part of it is learning to be able to separate out the hurt from the blessing of the relationship. And as we do that, we have to understand that the spouse has to understand that cautiousness is part of showing the kindness and honor to the other person. Again, that's going to vary widely. And sometimes you may look at this and go, oh, he's talking about the ladies there. Oh, he's talking about the men there. You know, as soon as you say that's the men and that's the ladies, you find a couple that's flip-flopped in that. And so I don't like to use overly broad terms about that, because sometimes the wife has a higher sexual drive than the husband. Sometimes the husband is cautious. Sometimes the husband is not. So it just kind of depends. Also here, you have high versus low verbal expressiveness. Well, why is this important? How much somebody uses talking to connect versus how much they're using behavior to connect. So sometimes, for example, people like to have a lot of let's talk through this, let's make love verbally as we move on our way to sexuality. Others find that you know, somebody's may have a spouse that's pretty low on verbal expressiveness, but as they kind of get into a place where they're going through sexual intimacy together, that kind of opens them up. It's different for different people. So just understanding that about each other. So in terms of unhealthy things, first of all, expecting your spouse to have the same sexual personality as you, you know what? It's just kind of like saying, you know, we have to understand that our spouses are different people from us. Sometimes they're going to be the same with us in something, sometimes others. But you have to be aware that not everybody is going to think just like you on that. Another, guilting or coercing your spouse into sexual behavior that makes them feel uncomfortable. No spouse should be forced into something that makes them feel uncomfortable, or they're not ready for. That's part of mutuality. Okay, another one: expecting your spouse to always adapt to your preferences. Okay, it's kind of like, hey, you need to come my way. You know what? I have needs of this. I have needs of this. This, come on, come my way. And forgetting that part of sexual relationship in a marriage is this back and forth. Another one is just neglecting to learn and observe your spouse's sexual personality. Find out what their likes and dislikes are, you know, what their needs are. And finally, comparing your spouse's sexual personality to secular or sinful models of sexuality. We have to watch out for comparison in anything. It could be comparison of what house they have or what job they have or how many kids they have. But also be careful, because the world wants to very much influence the way that you view sexuality based on lots of things in the media. And unfortunately, the characteristics of how the media portrays, particularly female sexuality, it's backwards. I mean, very, very few things in the media portray women in such a way that emotional intimacy is important to them. Okay? And so it's just important to just kind of think that through. So in terms of healthy, pay attention to what they enjoy and don't. And if you wonder, ask. Okay? And I want to encourage you just to ask. Okay? Just that simple communication. Another one. View it as a privilege to serve you, your spouse, by bringing them pleasure or comfort through pursuing their preferences. Think about this. It is your privilege to be married to your spouse, and it is your privilege to serve them in this area, and it's their privilege to serve you. And think about that mutuality. Isn't that beautiful? If you think about it, now I know it doesn't always happen, and all those things, but if you can think of it that way, I think God really desires that. Another one, view the sexual relationship as one a blessing through giving and receiving. Okay? It's giving and receiving. It's giving pleasure, receiving pleasure. Giving pleasure, receiving pleasure. All right. Item number three here is fantasy. So let's consider. So first of all, sexual thoughts and fantasies are part of being human. That's just as part of something that happens, and that in and of itself, being a human being, we have sexual wiring in us right from the ground up, okay? Remember this, that when you think about what the most important sexual organ is, okay? Remember it's here. It's the mind, okay? The mind is the gateway to all things sexual. Okay, so we'll talk a little bit about that more. Sexual fantasy left unchecked can lead to sin and distortion of God's design. Again, God's design up front. Things like that is supposed to promote honor. Things like it's supposed to promote oneness. It's not supposed to go outside of those bounds. Sexual fantasy that goes outside of those bounds, we have to steer back. Okay? But sexual fantasy in line with God's design can help couples build anticipation. Key word here, anticipation. Okay? And many, many couples, I find in working with people, miss the concept of anticipation. So that's what this is really about. And can use that to bless their relationship. So let's talk about unhealthy first. First of all, using sinful means like porn to supercharge your sex life leads to distortion. Okay? So pornography, it's peddled that way a lot of times to supercharge things, and unfortunately, it goes outside of the rails. Another one, comparing your spouse to sexual fantasies that he or she can't live up to. Okay? And so one of the things is we need to, when we think about God's grace and living out the gospel in marriage, one of the things that is being able to accept who they are and love them for who they are. Okay? God's design for marriage is that, I mean, if you may have got married when you're 20, but then there's 40 and then there's 60 and 80, and your spouse is changing. All right? And your spouse's body is changing. Your spouse's body has different health things. All different kinds of things. Remember, that just understanding that our love is to go all the way across that. Comparing your your spouse to the Cosmo model, okay, and some fantasy that you hold up over here because of, you know, something in the media, that just breeds discontentment, and it breeds exactly what Satan loves to breed in marriage. Another one, asking your spouse to participate in or accept sexual ideas and fantasies that fall outside of God's sexual boundaries, okay, violate the core four and is harmful. Okay? Remember, what we're talking about here is things that are on the outside of that model, all those things out there, okay, it's outside of God's design. But now let's look at fantasy on the inside. First of all, in the context of a healthy marital relationship, okay, meaning you're connected, sharing sexual thoughts and fantasies can help to build positive anticipation for sexual intimacy. Now, timing is key here, okay? Timing is very key here, okay? Because, you know what, if you come home from work, guys, and your wife is just cleaning up the vomit from a child, okay, and, you know, and supper is burned, and you come home and say, honey, I've been thinking about, okay, you might get clobbered with the pan, okay, and probably ought to, okay? No, I didn't say that. Don't, you know. But the point here is this. At the right, timing matters here, okay? But if, remember, sexual fantasies that build the sense of what? We. This is key. Because if the sexual fantasies are about me taking, okay, then what's it going to feel like when you express it to your spouse? Like being taken. Okay? We're building a sense of we. Let's go on to this next one. Healthy fantasies can help one or both spouses transition from the grind of life to becoming more open to sexual intimacy. Remember, and there's different analogies that people use, and sometimes they say men are like microwaves and women are like slow cookers. Or regardless, I think one of the things is if we've been in a grind, whether it's male or female, where we're really stressed about something or really preoccupied by something, being able to turn that when at the end of the day, when it's just like all that I want to do right now is sleep, okay? All I want to do right now is hear no noise, you know? And all of a sudden, your spouse is like, flip the switch, let's go. Okay? So what happens is that it's often very important, particularly for women, but it can be true of men also, particularly under stress and things like that, to start thinking about sexual intimacy prior to the act. That's why one author, Kevin Lehman, wrote a book, and it was called Sex Begins in the Kitchen. Okay? The concept was that the relationship context, the communication, the thinking about starts before the actual act of sex. Okay? And so, therefore, husbands, or wives, it depends on the situation, but husbands, I'll say here, may need to help his wife nurture sexual thoughts and feelings using the combination of things that help his wife in this area. If you want to help your spouse turn that corner towards sexuality, remember, you have to use what helps them turn the corner. Okay? So think about this. Spouse feeling tired, the kids, whatever, and husband comes in, hey, is tonight the night? You know, and she's like, oh. Okay? And then she says, well, you're going to have to just, I'm open, just help me make the shift. And then to make the shift, he starts relaying all the things that really turn him on, but that feel like pressure to her. Okay? How's that going? Not so well. Okay? So we have to think through what are the things that help your spouse turn the corner. Another one. Reminders of previous positive sexual encounters you have had together can help kindle sexual thoughts and feelings. Oh, remember when we were away together? And it was such a nice weekend where we had that time together and we were able to X, Y, or Z. And I hesitate to fill in too many blanks. And part of the reason that I do is that I don't want to say that every couple has to think about this the same. okay? This is, it's yours. It's yours. It's what makes you a we, okay? And that's why I don't say it because I'm afraid of like, oh no, I'm going to say the wrong thing. I'm saying like, I don't think that you have to think about this the way that I do. You have to make sure it's inside the core four, and if it's inside the core four, may God bless you and keep you. Lastly, fantasizing about a time or situation in the future that both of you find conducive to sexual intimacy to help build that excitement. So perhaps you're looking for, you know, oh, you know what? Oh, our anniversary is in a couple months, and we're planning to have grandma take the kids, and we're planning to, you know, you know, and just thinking about that. Think, oh, hey, maybe we can go out to eat, and maybe we do it, you know, whatever. Okay? So, number four, intentional rekindling. Intentional rekindling. Every couple experiences time where their sex life is more or less vibrant or on the back burner. Sometimes that's because of health. Sometimes it's life stages, busyness, all those things. It's important to understand the natural state of things is drift away from intimacy. Okay? The natural state of things is to drift away. Why is that? Because other things are very urgent. Okay? Kids are urgent. Homework is urgent. Deadlines are urgent. This, you know, and sexuality can always happen tomorrow night. But remember, the Bible warns couples a bit against being apart sexually for too long without a good reason. Remember, the reason that the Bible gave there particularly was for fervent prayer together. Okay, and I'm not saying there can't be other reasons, but the concept is that we not get lazy about our sexual life together. Okay, so unhealthy, just not being aware of your spouse's emotional and sexual needs. Okay, just like keeping that out, and I do want to remind you, sometimes there's a spouse that is a higher awareness of sexual needs and one that's lower. Okay, or one that's more aware of just sexual stimuli in general because of temptation or other things. I think it's important to remember that sometimes it's kind of like this, that for one spouse, it's these things are very, they're aware of it on a daily basis, where the other one's like, I haven't thought about that since the last time you brought it up. Okay, so just be aware of that. Another thing. Using ungodly means. Again, pornography. There's been a huge amount of sexual novels out there that are very explicitly outside of God's boundary line. Okay? Because what do? They move away from the spouse instead of turning towards your spouse. Fantasy, remember, that bonds we versus fantasy It lets me escape, that I get to be the taker. That's the world's design for fantasy. Another one, believing you can just wait till life slows down someday to make time for sexual intimacy. Okay? Life is going to slow down. Well, you know, it's fall right now, and fall's so busy. But this winter, it's going to slow down. You know how the winter slows down? Winter's so busy with the holidays. So spring, you know, spring's going to slow down. Oh, no. But well, once we get past spring, you know, summer's going to slow down. It's a fallacy. Life won't slow down. Life goes through different phases, but we have to prioritize the key things. Another one. Allowing sexuality to be only an act of physical, releasing physical tension and not a true connection of sexual intimacy and emotional intimacy. Now again, sexuality has a physical release component, okay? And I'm not opposed to one or both spouses saying, oh wow, I'm feeling sexual tension, you know, and desiring release of that. But God's design for sexuality was not simply an act of friction. Okay? Even if one spouse is more interested than the other, and that other spouse says, okay, well, we can do this tonight, you know, and is doing that out of giving, it still needs to be an act of we. Okay? When that other spouse seeks to meet the other one's need, that's an act of we. Okay? That can be just fine. But just being about, you know what, I need you for friction. Okay? That's not God's design in the big picture. So, unhealthy, make time for your sex life, even if that means you need to think creatively about your schedule, okay? Even if you need to plan ahead. Another one, be intentional about creating some times. I said monthly, but I'm not trying to, my purpose in saying this is just to give a ballpark. where you are able to fire up passion in the bedroom. What do I mean by that? Not every time that a couple has sex is it a time where they can spend a lot of focused time and attention together, have gone on a date night ahead of time, that the kids aren't around. And not every time is just perfect, okay? That's okay. Not every time that we're sexual has to be like, you know, a 53 on a 10 scale, okay? It's not going to be. In fact, that puts a lot of pressure on us. But what it is, it's a time of focused attention on each other that both spouses look forward to. It's a time where we get to be we, okay? So taking some extra time to be together, to think about it, think about the environment. Think about what you do for preparation. And then, of course, get away every now and then to focus on your marriage and your sexual relationship. Remember this? Sometimes your sexual relationship can be spontaneous, but there are times of life that relying on your sexual relationship to be spontaneous is going to be bad, because there isn't a time that you're going to feel like, I have lots of energy, okay? Or the kids aren't around. We have to be more planful to make sure that that happens. And then lastly, think about what opens your spouse's heart, okay? Think about what speaks to them, okay? And husbands, that means you need to be a student of your wife. And wife, it means you need to be a student of your husband about what you can do to build that. We're coming right down to the wire here. We're on the last of the topics, all right? And this is just talking about sex. First of all, couples vary in terms about how much they talk about sex, okay? Some it's a kind of, they're used to talking about it. Some it's just never really talked about that much. And there isn't necessarily a super right or super wrong there, because people vary. But here's the key. Spouses may miss an opportunity to share with each other about how they're feeling with their sexual relationship. It's pretty easy. Remember we talked about that in the last thing. There's turning towards your spouse, turning away or turning against. You know, if you have a sexual need or a sexual or something you want to say about it, it's sometimes easier to just avoid. Okay? So what we're looking for here is practicing good communication. And sometimes that takes vulnerability. Vulnerability to say, I need more of this, less of that. Or to say, you know, this is kind of troubling me. Or to say, could we consider? Okay? So in the unhealthy, talking with others indiscriminately about your sex life as a couple. Okay? It exposes what's supposed to be private and sacred. Okay? And I have observed, and I have worked situations where just talk about what's going on in a couple's private sex life is just kind of like, it's just like, you know, it's like saying, hey, how's the crops coming in? Let me tell you about our sex life. You know, and you know what? If your spouse is exposed, okay, if you're, you know, and I'm not saying that there's never a time to be able to talk with somebody. People come and talk to us as counselors about where they're at with their sex lives and things like that. I'm not opposed to people learning and growing. But again, we is supposed to be private, okay? Not because it's bad, okay? But because it's good and it's yours, okay? Drifting apart due to lack of communication about sexual needs, okay? And drift is the natural. Drift is natural. So remember, just fear of initiating. Sometimes because of disappointments, because of how the relationship has gone, people start to go, well, you know, I'd like to, hey, maybe not tonight. But it's like, oh man, you know what? If I ask, I know I'm going to get shot down. And that kind of thing starts to happen. We don't want fear of initiating or expressing sexual interest to be, I'm good, I'm bad. Okay? If a spouse asks and says, hey, I'm interested in sexuality, how about tonight? The other spouse needs to respond with if tonight's not the night, to respond with an alternate. You know what? Tonight's not good for me. But how about tomorrow night? Okay, I mean, just be gentle with it. Because this isn't about rejection. We don't want it to be. How about not expressing a desire? You know, when you give me that really deep massage, I don't like it at all. Okay? Hurts. Okay? Okay, you might like that kind of thing, but I don't like that kind of thing. So the point here is, if you're not comfortable sharing those things, then you miss. Another one here, critiquing your spouse, especially right after sex. Okay? Sex is not about one of the most important things that we teach couples, especially as engaged couples in early marriage, but all the way through, is we're not trying to hit a performance standard. Okay? After sexuality, it's not like the Olympics where they hold up 7.2, you know, things like this. This isn't, so we don't want to get into critiquing. We can request, we can ask, we can say what's worked for me and what's not worked for me. And lastly, an unhealthy thing is just avoiding dealing with a sexual hurdle. Oftentimes it's because of shame and embarrassment. Okay, about dealing with a sexual issue or concern, whether an individual or a couple. And I have to tell you, I know this, I totally know this, because I've had to go to a doctor and ask them some questions about me that made me feel very exposed. Okay? But the doctor, he just deals with it all day long, right? He's seen like 50 of them that week, you know? But to me, it's me, right? And I just wanted to say that same thing. If you're struggling with a sexual issue, I mean, the counselors, and we deal with this stuff, seriously, we deal with this stuff every day, okay? We don't think people are bad or odd. If you're needing help either individually or as a couple, or something, you know what? We'd be glad to help. And not saying you have to come to us, I mean, but the whole concept is don't let shame and embarrassment stop you. So lastly here, healthy sexuality. Take time to talk about what's working well for you sexually and what areas you would like to work on together. After a topic like today, this gives you an opportunity to say, hey, how are you feeling? How are you feeling about the frequency of our lovemaking? How are you feeling about how much time we're prioritizing? Is there something that I could do for you that would be more comfortable for you or helpful for you? Another one is, every once in a while, read a high-quality book on marital sexuality. I say high-quality because there are a lot of low-quality ones, okay? I would also say good Christian books are available, all right? And I'm not saying that there's never a time to read a secular book, but I'm just saying in the sexual area, there's a lot of trash, even in the self-help sexual stuff, okay? And so I would just tell you, my advice is there's plenty of good things. And if you can't find it, shoot me an email and I'll help you find it. Another one is talk to your physician about your sexual health as needed. If you have an issue health-wise or medication-wise or something, discomfort, okay? And lastly, seek counsel to overcome sexual hurdles. God desires for you to experience the blessing of His design, okay, that keeps out the bad, right, the things that He's put out, but inside, have that mutuality, that oneness, that honor, and no shame. God bless you. Thanks for coming.